You hear the word blessed a lot. So what does it mean? What does it mean to be blessed? If you have a Bible, you want to open it to Psalm chapter 1. We're in our second week of our series in the Psalms. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with mockers. They delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither. They prosper in all they do, but not the wicked. They're like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They'll be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. From the New Living Translation, it starts this way. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. The joys of those. And then another version will say simply, blessed. You are blessed if you do not follow the advice of the ungodly. We're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. The leaves never wither. They prosper in all they do. You hear me talk about occasionally out in our yard, we have a lot of trees on the property. And most of those trees, I think, have been there since God caused them to be there. I don't know. I'm not sure a lot of them were planted. Some might have been. We've added a few. But there's one in particular that if you look into our backyard, this tree, it just leans. It's big old tree, but it goes this way. And then about 30 feet up, it turns and heads straight up. And so a landscaper, someone who understands the plants and the trees and all that, said, well, what's happened here is that tree was looking for sunlight. And it used to be a very wooded lot long before we got there. And so that tree had to somehow get through the other stuff to make it above so it could find sun. And the top of that tree is beautiful. It's straight, but boy, you can tell its first 100 years were not very good. You know, it was stressful. And one day I thought maybe we should take that down. I don't want it falling over. Of course, Kim, you can't even prune a tree when she's around because she thinks I'm hurting them. She's a tree hugger from another life, I'm sure. But so when she's not home, I'll trim and prune, and she'll never notice until she does, and then we have a chat. But I thought maybe we should take it down. I'm fearing it might fall over. Oh, no, 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 they said, because really what you don't see is even greater than what we do see. Those roots will never let that tree fall. Trees are, if you find large trees next to a creek or a stream or a river, most of those trees God put there. I don't know many people that want to go try to dig a hole to plant a tree right up against water. It couldn't be very easy. I'm sure it's done. But as I look around at trees, I think God came up with that idea, and a lot of those have happened because of the way he put the creation in order. The rest of us, though, when it comes to adults, when it comes to humans, we really don't have a say in where we find ourselves planted on the earth. Now, we do have a say, and we do have a choice to make, and I want to talk to you about that today, about where we will dig some deep roots that will stabilize our lives. And what's interesting about Psalm 1 is that Psalm 1 tells us that we're blessed, and it starts out with here, we're blessed if we don't do these things. So we're blessed if we do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, seek wise counsel. Make sure it's honest, legal, beneficial. Do the right thing. So we do not walk with counsel from those who are not wanting to be honest and honor God. We do not stand around with sinners. Now, Jesus doesn't give us the option of judging or ignoring people who see things differently or believing differently than we believe. But in other words, when you are standing around with them, in other words, you have become a part of them. And if we're not careful, the influence toward us can be greater than our influence toward them. We don't stand around sinners, and then we don't join in with mockers. When you look up the definition of mocker, the best way I can give you that and the quickest way I can give it to you is if you're watching any news on TV, which is very rare these days in our house, you'll see people, the protest. They protest and they've got banners or flags or posters and they're furious and they're making their case known. Sometimes they're just shouting what they believe and that's fine. But other times they're shouting hateful things at others. That is called a mocker. That's mockery. They're saying unkind, hateful things about those who disagree with them or see things differently. The actual definition, if you look it up from the Hebrew, says to be a mocker is to act like a child. It's childish. Of course it is. So what exactly does the word blessed mean? If you go to verse 2, it tells us what to do if we want to be blessed. We just heard, don't do this if you want to be blessed. Now verse 2 says, we'll do this. And what is that? Says, well, you're going to be blessed if you delight in the law of the Lord and then meditate on it day and night. Think about good things. Think about the things of God. Think about the love of God. So we'll be blessed if we delight in what God teaches us and tells us and what the Bible gives us as the boundaries. And we'll be blessed if we will meditate on it day and night. The word blessed implies a sense of remarkable well-being. If you look up a definition of it, it's a sense of being remarkably at peace. This remarkable well-being that would be enviously desired by anybody who knows what it looks like, who knows what blessing looks like. It also implies the idea of spiritual peace and joy that results from a right relationship with God. For the psalmist, a blessed life is a life of genuine meaning and fulfillment. That's why the Psalms are so engaging. That's why we're spending this month going through some of those. So again, we don't have the luxury of being planted in the perfect spot. In other words, when we were born, God did not predetermine, well, you're going to get to grow up in this beautiful, lush environment where you are going to grow up spiritually. You're going to learn the things of God. Most of that, if we get that, it's because we have parents or grandparents who have decided they will help us grow up in the ways of God, help us see Jesus and what it looks like to follow him. But at some point after we are born and after we've grown up a bit, we have to choose. We don't just get automatically assigned a certain spot or a certain way. We don't just automatically say, well, I'm going to bless you, but I'm not going to bless you. No, no, we have to choose. Which one do you want? We have two choices. We can choose the path of Christ, or you can follow the crowd wherever it may take you. Those are really your only two choices. So if you want to be blessed, according to the Bible, according to the words of Christ, according to the words of the psalmist, if you want to be blessed, there's only one choice. There's only one option. You choose the path of Christ. And most choices for us are not easy. Even this one. I'd love to tell you that choosing the path of the one who created us is easy, but it isn't. And let me just warn you, not choosing anything or not choosing at all is choosing. You're either choosing to walk with God through the power of Christ or you're choosing not to. If you think you can have just a little of both, I want a little bit of the world mixed in, I want a little bit of Jesus mixed in, and I want to go over here and act like I don't know Jesus, then I want to go over here and act like Jesus doesn't know everything else about me. That doesn't work. That's not what the Bible says. As humans, we all face temptations, all of us. And guess what the Bible also says about all of us? We have all sinned and come short of the best God has for us. The Bible says that about us. If you think you're perfect, if you walk in here thinking you're perfect, I know we're going to really ruin your day because you are not. There isn't one person who is perfect, not one of us. You may be good looking, you may have money, you may have some good looking clothes on, but you are still rotten to the core if you don't have Jesus. You know, I mean, that's just... No, I don't. If you're a guest with us today and you're dressed nice and all that, and I just said you're rotten to the core. Thanks for trying us, you know. Give me another chance. You know what I'm trying to say here. Because we tend to want to fake it in order to make it. And that's not what this psalm is talking about. that's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus calls us out. He calls us out and says, I know who you are. I know what you're thinking. I know what you've done. And I want to give you a chance to be clean and free from all those regrets and move forward in a life that's better than you could imagine. That's what Jesus does for us. To live the blessed life that God offers, we have to choose to be in the place where the blessings are given. We have to decide. The words in Philippians 3:10 from the Amplified Version, I don't often read from the Amplified Version, but I've loved this since the first time, I mean, probably 20 years ago, when I saw this from the Amplified Version. And I've kept a card on the desk in the study. For my determined purpose, I love the first phrase has got you. This is Philippians 3:10. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person and more strongly and more clearly. This is his determined, I love how the Amplified says it, Paul's determined purpose. And that I may in some way come to know the power of outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over other believers, and that I may also share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in the Spirit into his likeness. That's Paul's determined purpose. What's yours? Years ago, there was a book written by Leslie Brandt, and she wrote this paraphrase of this psalm, Psalm 1. Here's what she says in her paraphrase. This is Psalm 1 in her eyes. Those persons who choose to live significant lives are not going to take their cues from the religiously indifferent. Nor will they conform to the crowd, nor mouth their prejudices, that's mockery, mouth their prejudices, nor dote on the failures of others. Their ultimate concern is the will of God. They make their daily decisions in respect to such. Compare them to a sturdy tree planted in rich, moist soil, and as the tree yields fruit, so their lives manifest blessing for others and are purpose and productive. This is not true concerning those who reject God. They're like sand in a desert storm or leaves in an autumn wind. They cannot stand against the judgments of eternal God, and they are most uncomfortable among those who demonstrate genuine faith in God and righteousness. The children of God walk in the course that God has ordained. The children of unbelief walk in paths of self-destruction. And again, all of us at one point or another tried that path of self-destruction just to see what it was like. Thankfully, I would hope to say most of us learned that's not the right path. That's not what God has in mind. So we chose to get back on the path, the only path that makes sense, where we're led by the one who created us and knows us best. So a couple of three lessons I take away from this. Let me share them with you. Here's the first one from Psalm 1, and it's very clear. Be careful where you walk, sit, and stand. That's what it says. We do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. We do not stand in the way of sinners or those missing the mark, those insensitive to God. We do not sit in the seat of mockers. We're not going to join into the chorus of hatefulness or hateful speech, of accusing others or yelling things at others. We may disagree with them, but that's no way a Christian should handle that. I know that strikes us as hard to believe, but it's true. Jesus did not tell us to stay away from the wicked or sinners or mockers, but Jesus says, don't be formed by them. Don't take your cues from them. Don't pattern your life after them. Look to Jesus. Watch what he does. Watch what he said. Watch how he handled conflict. Watch how he handled people being very unkind to him. Watch how he treated those who were putting nails through his skin. Let's take our cues from him. Let's be careful where we walk, or where we stop and stand, or where we sit. Let's be sure it's a place pleasing to God. Find our counsel from God through his word, his spirit, his presence, And let's not pattern after those who do not seek the blessed life that only God can give. We can't be shaped by those who mock God. So be careful. Secondly, love God's word and do what it says. Is this so simple? It's easy to say it. Love God's word and do what it says. That's what the psalmist says here, verse 2. His delight is in the law of the land, and his law he meditates day and night. In his law he meditates day and night. We want to love God's word and do what it says. That's a choice. Hear that word? It just rings through this entire psalm, short few verses, and it's just oozing with the concept, choose. Choose. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew against and beat that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And of course, the next phrase is talking about the house that was built on sand. And the rains came, the streams rose, the wind blew, and that house fell down. All because one made a choice of a good foundation, the other made a choice thinking something could be built without a firm foundation. And this passage from Matthew demonstrates we have to choose. We have to decide, rock or sand. You know, I think many people find themselves building on sand, but not intentionally, but by default. By default, you really, maybe you're like me. You grew up in church, and a lot of preachers' kids, as you know, when they get free at 18, they're gone. A lot of PKs, they run as fast and as far as they can from a church. I love to find PKs that got hurt in a church. I was fortunate that didn't happen to me. But sometimes I'll find them and they just walked away from it, and I try to convince them and say, I beg you, you did not see the clear picture of Jesus, and I'm sorry for whatever picture you saw, but you missed the real Jesus, the one who loves unconditionally and still loves us through our worst moments and wants to do something with us and wants to take those sins and forgive them and then turn around and help us help people who are in the same mess we were once in. I love to help people understand that. God does, he never wastes our mistakes. We learn from them, and then we bless somebody. We become a blessing to someone because we're gonna say, there's a way out of this. Let me show you. I mentioned Hope is Alive. That was mentioned in our announcements today in all of our rooms. I love that ministry. I love to be around them. Kim has spoken a couple of times to some of the ladies, and one time I went and just sat in the back and got to watch it unfold. But these are people who are wrestling day after day in the power of God to not have one more drink or take one more drug, and to see the people, and through this ministry, their people are getting healed and they're becoming free again and they're finding Jesus and they're living entirely different lives because somewhere along the way, they chose to get their life on a foundation. They tried just kind of drifting through life, as many of us do at times. But you know what I've learned? We never coast to anything meaningful. And I think sometimes we want just enough of God to feel spiritual, to feel loved, to feel saved, if you wish. And we want just enough of God to be okay there, but we want to have our other foot in that other world. We jump, we want a little rock and we want a little sand over here. We can't have it both ways. Try as you might, it'll work for a while. But I tell you what it's going to do. When you come to the end of your road and the end of life, you're going to find out how shallow it was. And what could have been possible if we just stayed on the rock of Jesus Christ. James says this, chapter 1 in James in verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. Humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You've got to do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, forget what you look like. Now, some of us do that because of our stage of life, not intentionally. But it's like looking in a mirror and you forget what you look like the minute you walk away. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you. God will bless you for doing that. So be careful where you walk, stand, and sit. Second, love God. Do what he says. And I know it sounds simple. It isn't, but it is simple advice, and it works. Number three, and finally, build a life firmly planted. Build a life that's firmly planted in the reservoir of God's love and strength. It's a choice we have to make. Where will we build? What will we build on? How are we going to build it? I think the clearest picture of the kind of life God offers each of us is found by knowing and following Jesus. I think he's the perfect picture. If you want to know what God is like, read the Gospels. That's what God is like, because he's God in the flesh. It's a wonderful picture of who he is. Jesus came to show us how to live this meaningful life of purpose and direction and satisfaction. Jesus did not come to pull us into a religious trip. He did not come to teach us how to go to church because it's the right thing to do. He did not teach us to fake it until you make it. That's not what Jesus had in mind. That's not what he died for. We can turn to him because he loves us and he wants to forgive us. But then he wants to take our messes, our pain, and use those to free somebody else. But please realize, even with all that, Jesus gives us a choice. We have to decide who are we going to follow. It's a decision. Who? We could ignore Jesus. We can take a few cues from him. But until you have decided that you will pattern your life after his and follow him and do what he says and take the way, take the path that he takes, you haven't had that experience. Don't just have a life that's got a little sand and a little rock. And boy, we do it really well. And so many are kind of living that way. The boundaries are clear. The choices, the decisions are very clear. And again, I think one of the most dangerous places to be spiritually in your life is when you get just enough of God to feel like you're in, to feel spiritual, but not too much that might cause the pain of change. We want the joy of forgiveness without the commitment of change. We want a certain kind of worship, certain kind of teaching, and we want it on average now 1.4 times a month. We justify ignoring the biblical call, the call of Christ, to give of ourselves and our resources. We debate whether to give it all, and if we do give, we sometimes get the calculator out and make sure it's right at 10% for those that are brave enough to tithe. And you know how I know that is I've been there. I've said it before, I'm not gonna bore you with the story again today, but I remember where I was sitting when it occurred to me, quit calculating the 10%, just give. And at first I thought, oh no, what's that mean? It was a lesson I'll never forget. I know where I was sitting, and it just God said, quit calculating how you might respond to me. Whether it's my life, my actions, my words, my funds, whatever it is. Jesus calls us to make a choice, make a decision, and follow him. Leave the baggage of an unfulfilled, calculated, selfish life behind and follow the one who loves you more than anyone could, more than we can comprehend. Again, Philippians 3:8, Paul says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And Jesus just keeps saying to us, rock or sand, you've got to choose. The psalmist says, plant where the roots can grow deep. And only through Jesus do we find that path. Only through him do we have the courage to choose that path and then experience life on a solid foundation, a life firmly planted, well cultivated, clearly productive, yielding fruit, not withering leaves, always prosperous. In other words, the blessed life. And that's what it looks like to live the blessed life. I'm going to ask our prayer teams to come to the front of all of our rooms. We'll be available to pray with you about anything that may be on your mind. There may be a hurt in your life. There may be something nagging at you. There may be all kinds of issues. We'd love to pray with you, encourage you, if you have time and allow us that privilege. And as the prayer teams come forward, let me close us in prayer, and then we will be dismissed. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of and the freedom we have to gather today for worship. And Father, we thank you once again for this simple yet powerful word that we find in this book called the Bible, cover to cover. Some things are clear to understand, some things we can't understand, and some mysteries we'll never understand. But oh Father, we thank you. There's quite enough there for us to understand and ask for your power to live it. I pray, Father, people will choose to live the blessed life that you offer us. I pray for a church that will demonstrate that life in a way that would be so compelling to others, they'd at least want to know, how did you get where you are? Why do you live this way? Why do you forgive and why do you love like you do? Father, we pray that we might be the ambassadors of Christ in sharing the blessing that we've enjoyed with others who can be changed forever because of it. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.